other folks, Lord, with great needs. We pray you touch each one. And then, Lord, ask you to minister to us today as we study your word. May you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we place a great emphasis on the Word of God. Hope you've got your Bible with you this morning. We will be looking at it. All of our teaching and preaching is based on the Word of God. For 4 to 6 years, Preacher Lashley emphasized doing what every year? Read the Bible through every year. That was one of the marks of his ministry. We encourage you to study God's Word. We're even having a weekly verse now. We're encouraging you to read God's Word. But did you know that you can know a great deal about God's Word and it have no effect on your life? Now, unfortunately, we see this happen all too often. Children are raised in a Christian home. They're raised in the church, maybe even in a Christian school. And they get to a certain age and they kick the traces and they leave the church and they begin all kinds of sinful practices that they know or they've heard they are wrong for years and years and years. They've heard the truth. They've heard the great absolutes from the Word of God, but it's had no effect on their behavior. Obviously, we see the same thing with adults often. They come to church week after week after week, and yet they're living a sinful lifestyle, and the truths of the Word of God seem to have no effect. Somewhere, there is a disconnect between the truths that they know and their life. That should not be. This morning, we're going back to Colossians chapter 1. You can go ahead and turn there. Colossians chapter 1. Last week, we spent some time talking about the need for knowledge. But we want to take it a step further this morning, and we'll review here real quickly for those that are visiting or those that were not here or those that can't remember last Sunday, which is probably true of most of us. And there are some steps that need to be taken by a believer for the Word of God to have an effect in your life. The purpose of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is not just for you to know something. We want you to know something that changes you. Okay? The knowledge needs to have application so that your life has changed. Now, as we began this passage last week, we talked about the priority of prayer. Let's look at verse 9. Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Wow. Is there ever a time at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that we need people to be praying? I'll just be honest. Now, I've been here almost 27 years. I don't remember a time when we had more people in our church with more needs than we do right now. We've had two deaths, of course, just yesterday. We've got 5 or 6 or 7 people that are in the process of battling cancer. There are all kinds of great physical needs in our church right now. Now, folks, the simple matter of fact is, it is our responsibility to pray for each other. I hope you're doing that. I hope you take the prayer list and pray. It's interesting as we close the book of Colossians in verse chapter 4 and verse 12, talking about the pastor who is the pastor of Colossae, who started the church, Epaphras, who's visiting now with Paul. It says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you." Now here he is in a long way away from Colossae. He's with Paul in Rome, but it says he's always laboring fervently for you in prayer. Oh my, that it could be said of the members of the Victory Bible class that they are laboring fervently in prayer for other believers in the class. So we see the priority of prayer. But secondly, we saw the petition of Paul's prayer. And his first petition is found in verse 9. And he says, I'm not ceasing to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We saw last week how that word filled means to be completely controlled or dominated by this knowledge. And when you are filled, if you take a cup that is full of air and you fill it with orange juice, what happens to the air? This is deep stuff now. I know it's deep. The air leaves. It is replaced by the orange juice, isn't it? Now you're all thirsty for orange juice, aren't you? And when you are saved, and before you are saved, we are spiritually ignorant. And as the knowledge of God's will fills our hearts and lives, that ignorance is turned away. And eventually we are to be controlled by the knowledge of God and the knowledge of His will. How many of you are too hot? You look hot. How many? I'm not going to ask how many are too cold. I really don't care. So, I mean, I guess I could be nice. How many are too cold? Okay, good. All right. Paul says, look, I want you to be filled with something. I want you to know what God wants you to do. And again, last week, it is so important, folks. We're in a day when churches are turning away from giving you knowledge, and they're turning to what? Entertainment. And they got a drama. They got a show. We've got excitement. Come to the new church. We're different. It's church like never before. It's exciting. I saw a church. I thought our Easter egg hunt was pretty nice last week until I got a flyer in the mail from Highlands. They're giving away a car in their Easter egg hunt. I may not be able to make it for church if I'm late, just to start out. This is the movement today, though. Emotion and entertainment. By the way, if you come to church just to get excited and to emote some, your life is going to be like a roller coaster. You're going to be up and you're going to be down, up and down. That's not what you need, folks. We need the knowledge of God's will. And Paul says, I want you to know that knowledge, to know what God wants you to do with your life. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you know, are you filled and controlled by God's will? Now, let's just be honest. Most say, well, I'm just not sure what God's will. You know, your problem is probably not what you don't know. That's not my problem. You know what my problem is? My problem is what I do know. Okay? We know a great deal about what God's will is. And that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we struggle. And Paul said, look, I'm praying for you folks that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. I've been reading in Deuteronomy in my devotions. And the Word of God, folks, is filled with absolutes. Of course, the Ten Commandments is repeated there in Deuteronomy. And laws and laws and absolutes and laws. In fact, what is the longest chapter in the Word of God? Psalm 119. How many verses in the Psalm? 176 is the correct. Very good. I was going to say you can move the front row, but you're already there. So you just stay right where you are. 176. It's very interesting. In almost every verse, I think all but maybe two, there is a description of the Word of God. And they are words like laws, statutes, commandments. They're absolutes. The Word of God is full of absolutes. Now, what is the Word of God supposed to do? You help me. I'm going to give you an illustration. In the book of Romans, there are how many chapters? 16. All right, very good. In the first 11 chapters, you have absolutes, all kinds of great teachings about salvation. Salvation is by faith. It is through grace. It is wonder, or excuse me, I said the backwards. It's by grace through faith. All kinds of great absolute teaching in the first 11 chapters. What happens in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1? I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What's he saying? Because of everything I just taught you in chapter 1 through 11, now present your body living sacrifice. Now, folks, that's what God's Word is supposed to do. It is supposed to change your behavior. These absolutes are not just you can go out and say, well, the longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119, 156 verses, 176 verses. In fact, I can quote Psalm 123 for you, and I can even quote Psalm 119 and 9 through 11 for you. And I know quite a bit of the Bible myself, personally. And what good has that done? It's made you proud is all it's done. No, the Word of God, these absolutes are found in God's Word, folks, to change you. And it's interesting, and we won't have time to do this, let me just walk you through it. If you were to go into many books of the New Testament, they're set up just like Romans. Now, let's go, how about 1 Corinthians 15? What is this known as? The resurrection chapter. Great chapter for today, isn't it? And Paul goes through all that book and he says, look, if Christ is not raised, then our faith is vain and our life is vain and we're lost in sins. Whoa, but he says Christ is alive. And because of that, our faith is real and our sins are forgiven and all of these things. And he comes down to the end of the book, or the end of the chapter, and he's been talking about all these great resurrection truths. And he says, therefore, be what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do you see the point? Here are all the truths about the resurrection. Here are the absolutes. Therefore, do this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 17 and 18. These are real familiar verses. Now, this is actually partially an application of the verses before. And you see the wherefore in verse 17. We're going to emphasize the next couple of verses. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, here's the absolute. And I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you. You should be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He said, look, if you will do this, then I'm going to come in fellowship with you. Now, look at verse 1 of chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us do what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Do you see the folks? Here is the absolute truth. You walk in a clean life, and the Holy Spirit will indwell you. God will walk with you. You'll know His presence. Therefore, application, clean up your life. Now, folks, all throughout Scripture this is found. The book of Ephesians has three chapters of absolute truth. You come to chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. First three chapters, he's given you the vocation. Chapter 4 says, okay, now walk worthy of it. Philippians, three chapters of absolutes, and in verse chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, therefore, my beloved, or my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Because of all these truths, there ought to be a change. Colossians, the book we're studying, has three chapters of absolutes. In chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Do you get the point? Okay? Scripture knowledge, these absolutes should change your behavior, change your life. Now, let me ask you a question. Are they? Do the things that you know from the Word of God, are they changing your life? Again, it's possible to read the Bible every day and do your duty and put a check mark beside that day and not have the Word of God change you one little bit. So, the obvious question is, how can we make it changes? What can we do to make the light, the book, do what it's supposed to do? All right, let's move on and back in Colossians. And I touched on these last week, but I want to spend some more time there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Notice, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wisdom, the correct use of knowledge, and the idea is you form principles from the Word of God. Pure knowledge is not enough. It needs to be stated as a principle. Now, hold your finger there and turn to Matthew chapter 23. I'm happy to turn to a lot of passages this morning to make a point. So try to stay with us here and we'll move along quickly. 23:37. As you study God's Word, as you read God's Word, you need to get principles. There are absolute truths that are stated. You need to make those into principles, and then we'll see in a moment you need to apply them. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now, what's the principle? You say, well, I don't live in Jerusalem. Doesn't affect me any. You know, this was Jerusalem, I'm in Jerusalem. What's the principle? What's the main thought of the verses? These people, the Lord says, I had wanted to gather you and make you what you ought to be, but you would not, you rebelled, and because you rebelled, your house is desolate. What's the principle? You rebel against God, and there's punishment. there's a principle. But let me ask a question. If you know the principle, but you don't apply it, will it change your life? No. No, it won't. You've got to go further. Now, back in Colossians, you don't need to turn back there. It talked, the second word was understanding. It's interesting. That word literally means to mentally put together. This is where the truths and the principles of God's word come together to change your life and you make personal application. Now, let me throw it out to you. The principle is if you rebel against God, you'll be punished. What is the personal application? That's exactly right. I better not rebel. I'm not going to rebel against God. There's the personal application. Now, obviously, you can apply that in any area of your life. But now you see, this verse has changed my life. Because it's gone from being something the Lord said over Jerusalem to being a principle to becoming a personal application. And when I read God's word and I see the truths therein and I principalize them, I just made up that word, and then I apply them, what happens? My life has changed. Now look, if you drop the ball at any stage, you won't change. You say, Gary, I've been saved 40 years, and my life is about the same as it was when I got saved. Well, something's not right. Now, it may be you don't know. Now, I don't know how that can be after 40 years, unless you never read your Bible, never go to church, okay? Maybe this is the Sunday you come to church on Easter, you know? We're glad to have you, by the way. Maybe the thing is you have knowledge, but you haven't figured out the principles. Or maybe you know the principles, but you've never made personal application. See, you can drop the ball at any stage, and your life won't change. The simple matter of fact is, folks, as a believer, your life ought to be changing spiritually every day of your life. Now, most of us will probably say, well, I'm kind of here. Some of us are saying, well, I'm kind of going like this direction. You know. But we should be changing every day. That's the process of sanctification. Becoming like Christ more every day. And we take the word of God and we see the truths therein and we make principles out of them and we apply them and it changes our life. Now, turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. Let's illustrate this a couple times so we get the point. Philippians 2:2. Now, we could do this with any verse in the Word of God, but I've just picked out a couple. And he says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, what is the truth? What is the absolute truth in the passage? Christian unity. There to be like-minded, to be in one accord. Okay? Now, in this case, the principle is the same thing. Okay? Now, what's the application? It's actually found in this passage too. Look in verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Okay, if we're going to have unity, if that's the principle, we're to have unity in the church, then how does it control my behavior? Don't do anything out of, don't put anything on Facebook that would cause strife. I can say that because I don't have Facebook, see? That's why I criticize hunting, because I don't hunt. Fishing, I don't hunt fish. Now, golf, that's getting personal. Okay? Preachers always preach against things they don't do, you know. They don't preach about the thing they do, you know. There's the principle. There's the application. I'm going to be humble in my opinion of myself, and I'm not going to do anything that would break unity in the church. Wow, what kind of church would that be like? If everybody in the church said, you know what? Even though I heard this great bit of news, prayer request, you know. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to cause dissension in the church. We're going to have unity. I'm not going to do anything to cause dissension. Wow. Wouldn't that be a great church? Let's look at a couple more and we'll move on. First, John 3:16. Let's move there quickly. I want to get to the last point here. 1 John 3:16. Now, I want you to turn here. I know it's Easter. And all your minds are on eating this afternoon. But forget about that just for a moment now that I've mentioned it to you. And I want you to concentrate and help me here. See if you can figure this out. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brother. Now again, we see the truth and the application really here, the principle. What is the truth of the passage? Okay, the foreigners have it. Anybody else? I'm glad our missionaries know how to do this. It's a good thing. What's the truth? Come on. Think. What's that? Now that's the application. Or the principle. What's that? Why? Because he loves us. Christ died for us because he loves us. There's the truth. Is that the truth? Good. If you're not uncertain, just say yes, it is the truth, and I don't think you know what you're talking about. Okay? Sure, that's the truth. Christ laid down his life for us because he loves us. Now, what's the principle? What's the principle? We should love other people and lay down our life for them. Now, what's the application? If I want to reach my neighbor, instead of mowing my lawn and throwing a track over the thing while I'm mowing my lawn, I might say to my neighbor, hey, we're grilling some hamburgers tonight. Why don't you come over and join us? And there's a personal application. And the personal application changes the life. What's that? Mow your neighbor. Yeah, you can mow your neighbor's yard too. That'll work. All right. Now, I hope you get the point. By the way, we're in Colossians, back in Colossians 1. I want to move on, but it's interesting in this passage. We can do the same thing with the first part of this verse in Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. What's the truth? Well, Paul prayed for the church all the time. What's the principle? Believers ought to pray for each other. What's the application? Either you're just very quiet this morning, or I'm totally missing the mark. What's the application? I'm going to pray for the people in the Victory Bible class. There's the application. I'm going to pray for people that have great needs. There's an application. Does this make sense to you? Humor me. Shake your head up. Okay, good. All right. Now, what happens to a believer when he begins to take the truths of God's word, he understands the principles of God's word, and he applies it to his life? There are five great benefits found in this passage. Now, we're going to touch on one of them this morning. But there are five great things that will happen in your life. Now, notice the first one. This is amazing. Now, I hope you're thinking. Here it is. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now, let that sink in. He said, look, believer, as you take the word of God and you get the absolute truth out of the word of God and you make principles of it in wisdom and you understand and you apply it, you will walk worthy and please God. Wow. Do you realize what that means? You say, well, that's just not possible. This is the power of the Word of God to change you so that you please the Lord. Now, isn't that our goal in life? To please the Lord? And he said, if you will do this, you can have a worthy walk. Now, when he's talking about a walk, what's he talking about? That daily life. Yeah, the daily life, the moment-by-moment decisions that you make, your daily conduct includes all of your daily life. And he says, if you do this, your daily life is going to be worthy. Now, is that what you want? Boy, it's what I want. Do I always have it? Some of you know me pretty well. You say, But look, folks. This is such a powerful thing. We can walk worthy of the Lord. We can have a life that pleases the Lord. Now, there are several little passages in the New Testament where Paul talks about this walk. One of those is 1 Thessalonians 2. I tell you what, go ahead and turn there. If we don't get done, we'll pick it up next week and continue. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. Paul is speaking, of course, to the church at Thessalonica, and he says in verse 10 of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, It's right before 2 Thessalonians. And he says, ye are witnesses in God also how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. What did he charge them? What did he say? Here's what you need to do. What did he command? That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and his glory. Paul commands the Thessalonican Christians, you need to walk worthy of the Lord. He's commanding them to do it. Now, here's what happens. I tell you what, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Just back a couple pages. It's the last one I have you look at. Ephesians 4:1. You've done well. Hang in there. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. By the way, this is that therefore phrase. Remember, we had three chapters of absolute truth. We come to chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now, he has just described their vocation, their position in Christ. And he said, here's what I want. Here's what needs to happen. Now think about this. What is your position in Christ? How would you describe it? Or use some words to describe it. Righteous. We're sons. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Now, pastor's going to talk about justified this morning. I'm going to steal a little bit of his thunder. What a great truth. When the blood of Christ cleanses you from all sin and you are justified, your debt is paid. It's done. And he said, you're in Christ. He said, you're actually seated in the heavenlies with Christ. That's an amazing thought. Now he said, believer, here's what you need to do. You need to make your practice the same as your position. That's kind of a tall order, isn't it? But Paul was saying, look, if you will take the absolutes of God's word and you will get principles, you'll have wisdom and properly apply them and have understanding in your application, you can walk worthy of the Lord and you can please him. Now, by the way, he did give us a model. In 1 John 2:6, it says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Who are we to walk like? The Lord Jesus Christ. Our walk is to be an imitation of his walk. Let me give you one more. 2 Corinthians 6:16. I told you I wouldn't have you look it up, so I won't. I'll be a man of my word today. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And I have got the wrong passage. That's why I didn't have you turn to it. Oh, gracious. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians. Hang on a second. No, it's not that either. Somewhere in your Bible. Oh, no, I was right the first time. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Oh, hallelujah. There it is. I always hate those moments. 2 Corinthians 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. What does that mean? Temple of the living God. What does it mean? All right. God lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Now notice. As God has said, I will dwell in them. Notice the next phrase. This is neat. And walk in them. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit is given to you to empower you. He is walking in you to help you to walk like Christ. Isn't that a great truth? Quit thinking about that ham. This is a great truth. The Holy Spirit of God indwells us and empowers us so we can have a worthy walk. But it won't happen if we don't have knowledge. We don't have proper understanding or wisdom, and then we have proper application. And folks, that application, this is just the first of the five benefits. The first thing is, it will help you to please God in your daily walk. Now, look, that's what I want. That's what I need. That's what you need. Now, the key is, get in the Word of God every day. Don't just read it. Find the truth. Find the principle and apply it to right where you live. Now look, if you do that every day, you do that Sunday, it's going to change something about your life for the better. You do it Monday, it's going to change something about your life for the better. You do that Tuesday, it's going to change something about your life for the better. You get the pattern? And when you come back next Sunday, you won't be the same person you were today. Now, is that happening in your life? And if you do that every day, you know what it leads to? A worthy walk that pleases God. That's what it leads to. Now, the good news is the Holy Spirit's indwelling you to help you, okay? If I just said, David Ellison, I want you to walk like the Lord today. Of course, his wife would say, yeah, right. You would say, that's impossible. And it is in the flesh. But the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, David. And he can change you from the inside out and make you exactly what the Lord wants you to be so you can please the Lord. What a great truth. Now that's what we need to do this week and next week and the rest of our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the power of the Word of God. And I pray that as believers today, you would help us to study your Word, that we would know the truths of the Word of God, and that we would have wisdom and understanding in applying them to our lives. Oh God, what a great thing if we could walk in a way that pleases you every day of our lives. And this is what Paul is saying your word will do. And I pray that your word will change us this week and make us more like you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.